Before we get into the message this morning, just wanted to share one bit of information, family news, in a sense, with you. What I love about the kingdom of God is that the kingdom of God is beyond just this church. The kingdom of God scopes other churches in this community, other churches around the world, and that as a church, we get to be part of this bigger picture of what God is doing around the world. And one couple in our church that have been good friends and have made a big impact to this church have been feeling God leading them onward. And some of you may know Bo and Kurt Pratt. And Bo and Kurt Pratt have been feeling God stirring in their hearts to move on. And they have made a big impact in this community, in this church. And we have been so honored and blessed to have them here. And as Kurt was one of the board members here at the church, we have appointed Mark Cassis. I don't know where Mark's at. Mark is back there. Mark will be filling his role on the board until this next March. And I just want to take a moment in the service real quick. Mark, if you can come back in real quick. I just want to take a moment in the service here before we move on and just pray for Bo and Kurt as God leads them onward and God continues to bless their ministry as they work in the high schools and the middle schools with the Bible clubs, as well as Mark, and that God will continue to be with us as we move forward here. God, I thank you so much for this morning. God, I thank you for the Pratts, for Bo and Kurt. God, just the incredible blessing they've been to so many here and to myself as well, Lord, and to youth all over this community. Lord, I just pray you continue to bless them, Lord. Lord, as they are following the leading of your Holy Spirit, Lord, as they are being obedient, I pray you would just be with them and strengthen them, Lord. Prepare the path before them. Lord, we pray also for Mark, Lord, and for the leadership here, that you would continue to give us wisdom and, Lord, give us vision for the future of what you're doing, Lord, to reach this community. Lord, that you will give us ideas, Lord, give us opportunities, Lord, to show your love, Lord, to North Huntington, to Irwin, Lord, to Westmoreland County. Lord, that our scope of influence, Lord, as a church will continue to expand, to grow. That we can make a difference, Lord, Lord, in this community, that this community will be a better place because God's people are here. Lord, just have your way, I pray, in the Pratt's life and their future. God, and with Mark and his leadership, the role that he'll be stepping into, give him wisdom and strength as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, we're going to be starting a new series called Why Me? I don't know if you ever asked the question, why me? I've asked that question numerous times. It's a question that kind of pops into your head, usually when you're facing an overwhelming circumstance. I remember one time early on in my ministry where I was elected lead pastor of this church and felt so overwhelmed and asked myself, why me? And like, that was last week. Never mind. I'm kidding. Just kidding. But if you've ever faced overwhelming circumstances, I don't know if you've been there before. I've been there numerous times where we ask ourselves, God, do you really know what you've just done? Maybe for you it's a raising a family, the stress of raising a family, and maybe you take that your first child home from the hospital. As you walk out of the hospital, you're asking yourself, do they really know what they've just done? I have no clue what I'm doing. And maybe the stress of raising children or teenagers, and you're asking yourself, God, I don't know if I can do this. Why me? Why did you choose me to do this? Or maybe it's a job promotion that you've stepped into, and it feels overwhelming. The picture seems so big, and you don't feel that you can handle it. Maybe a relationship that's been strained, and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to fix the relationship, and you just feel overwhelmed. Or sometimes it might be a physical issue, something in your body that you've been praying for, that God would heal you, that God would somehow fix this thing that is not working in your body. Maybe it's a disease or some ailment in your body. And you're asking, God, why me? God, why does this have to happen to me? And it's a question that is universal with every person. That at some point in our lives, we face overwhelming circumstances. And we ask that question, why me? And over these next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this question. We're going to be talking today about what God's promises in those circumstances. Next week, we're going to talk about what God's purpose is in your life, in those circumstances. And in a couple weeks, we'll be talking about God's plan for us moving forward. And today, as we talk about God's promise, we're going to be looking at the book of Judges, chapter 6. And what I love about Scripture and what I love about reading God's Word is that there are real people throughout God's Word that have faced very similar situations to you and I. And we're looking at a man by the name of Gideon. He was a young man, and Gideon was facing some very, very overwhelming circumstances. And he had a lot of questions. If you read Judges 6 and 7, Gideon asked a lot of questions. He didn't just walk into things blindly, but he had a lot of questions. And in the book of Judges chapter 6, we find an interesting situation that Gideon found himself in. You see, Israel was in the middle of a period of time known as the period of the judges. And they're not judges like we would know today, where you would go into the courthouse and a judge rules. Judges in this period were basically regional leaders. See, for 300 years, and we're in the middle of this 300 years here in Judges 6, Israel had no governmental structure. Could you imagine no governmental structure, the chaos that would take place? Israel had conquered the land of Canaan, and for 300 years had no governmental structure until their monarchy was established with King Saul. So right in the middle of this 300 years, we have the period of the judges, and that's the book of Judges. And during this time, one of the phrases that is common throughout the book of Judges is every man did what was right in his own eyes, and the other phrase is that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. These two phrases are repeated throughout the book of Judges. And we see Israel's disobedience continually, over and over again, and then God would raise up a judge, a leader, to bring some order, and Israel would repent, and they would focus their lives and give their lives back to God, and things would be okay for a while, and then they would return back to their disobedience. In this particular time, Israel was under invasion from some of their neighboring countries, specifically the Midianites. And the Midianites were just east of Israel. And what they kept doing, this is the situation, is the Israelites would plant their harvest, they would plant their different crops, and the Midianites would come in and ravage their crops. Now, some of you may not be able to relate with the farming analogy or the farming of the Midianites. I grew up in Derry, and although I... do any of you guys know where Derry is? Okay, good. I grew up in Derry. I did not live in Derry. I lived in Latrobe, so I did not grow up in a farm or near a farm. But I drove by farms on my way to high school every day, okay? So I'm familiar with them a little bit. I can't milk a cow or anything like that, but I know what a cow looks like, okay? So from what I understand about farming, when you plant a crop, usually you want to harvest the crop, and it's never any fun when someone tramples the crop, okay? So this is what was happening with Israel. They would plant their crops with the hopes of providing food for their families, for their nation, and the Midianites would come in and trample everything, destroy their crops, steal their livestock. And what it caused was a lot of fear. During this period of time, the Israelites lived in fear because they never knew when the Midianites would come back to steal from them or to trample their crops or steal their livestock. They didn't know what was going to happen. And in this particular situation, in Judges chapter 6, Gideon, this young man, we find him threshing wheat in a wine press. And a wine press is basically this big circular bowl made of stone where they would stomp grapes to create wine. So Gideon was hiding, threshing wheat, basically trying to prepare food for his family. And as he's hiding, threshing wheat, in Judges chapter 6, an angel of the Lord appears to him. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Judges 6, verse 12. Here's what it says in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. This is a really fascinating statement that this angel makes to Gideon. You know, as a man, maybe all of you could relate to this. My immediate focus goes on mighty warrior. I like to hear mighty warrior. I like people when they call me mighty warrior. So if you want me to be to really like you, call me mighty warrior, okay? But as a guy, we like the power of that verse, mighty warrior. But if you see in the verse, the angel doesn't lead with "you're a mighty warrior." He leads with "the Lord is with you." The Lord is with you. Have you ever thought about, I know that sounds like a very common phrase, "the Lord is with you," okay, I understand. But have you ever understood the reality of that statement, that the Lord is with you? With you, through the good and the bad, through the difficult, through the overwhelming, that the Lord is with you. You see, the angel could have made a number of statements here. He could have said, I will deliver you, or I will transform you, I will empower you. But he doesn't. He said, I'm with you. The Lord is with you. And it kind of reminds me of what Jesus would become one day, kind of foreshadowing to the future. As Jesus came onto the scene, he was known as Emmanuel, which means God with us. And if you see throughout Scripture, this statement was made to a number of leaders in the Old Testament, the New Testament. God said this to Moses in Exodus. He said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. To Joshua, in the book of Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And Jesus says this to his disciples in Matthew 28. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. It's a foundational characteristic of God, that God is with us. You know, there are different theories of God and theology, and one of those theories is known as the watchmaker theory. The watchmaker theory teaches that God is like a watchmaker. He put together his creation, mankind, intricately. But then once he's created mankind, he has stepped back and is distant from mankind and allows mankind to continue to operate as a watchmaker would. As a watchmaker would put together the intricacies of a watch or a clock and then step back and allow the watch or the clock to operate as it was created to do. And there's this theory that God created us and then he has stepped back and he is distant from creation. He is distant from us. But that's not what Scripture teaches. It's not the God that we serve. It's not what the Bible teaches. And we see throughout the Bible, from the beginning to the end, that God is a personal God. God is a God that cares about us. He is actively involved in our lives. He is with us. Through the good and the bad, he is with us. And here, he's telling Gideon, I am with you. He's not against us. He's not for us. He's not excited. He's not disappointed. He's with us. He's not standing back saying, well, I'm just going to leave you on your own to fail or to succeed. And whatever you do, okay. He is with us in the trenches, walking right beside us. And when he says that God is with us, this means a number of things. It means that we, when God is with us, we possess the authority of God. We possess the peace that only God can bring. We possess the power of God in our lives. The power of God in our situations. And this morning, the main point of what I want to share with you, that when you boil it all down, is this. That as we welcome the presence of God, we unlock the power of God in our lives. As we welcome the presence of God, we unlock the power of God in our lives. And this verse, if you see, God, the angel kind of hits it in two ways. He says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. That the presence of God is with you. Because of that, you are a mighty warrior. You're powerful. And this idea of being with you, you know, I was thinking of two different kind of approaches, things that you have with you. And I don't know if you have that slide with Linus. Have you guys ever seen Charlie Brown? Linus has this security blanket with him at all times. And maybe you as a child, or maybe you have children that have security blankets, and everywhere they go, they take this blanket with them. I brought something from my childhood, my little teddy bear. This is my little, I'm going to preach with this if that's okay. I just feel more comfortable. And we can be comfortable here, right? We're at home here, okay? So I can carry around my little teddy bear. I just feel safer when my teddy is close, okay? But there are children, this is a common practice. Children have security blankets. They have teddy bears or dolls. Hopefully the girls have the dolls, not the guys. But we have these common practices. And it's interesting that when a child is crying or they're fearful, if you give them their security blanket or their teddy bear, they feel okay. They feel safe, at peace. And really, the peace and the safety that they have is just their ability to be able to hold that thing close, to hold it close to them. But the reality is that this can't do anything for me. So if you come at me with something, the best I can do is throw this at you and run. Hopefully that distracts you enough before I can run, okay? A teddy bear isn't going to do anything. And God isn't with us like this. You know, some believe that God is just a crutch, that he's just for the weak. He's just a teddy bear that you just hold on to, hold close, and it makes you feel better. That's not the God that we serve. God isn't just a teddy bear or security blanket. He's not just a crutch. He's not something that we just lean on when we're weak and we need help, and then when we're on our feet again, we're okay and we're living on our own. God is with us. We walk with his authority, with his power. Another analogy that kind of fits a little bit better is, could you imagine going to a Steelers game with Art Rooney II? Going to Heinz Field. You guys know who Art Rooney II is? This is Art Rooney II. He is the president and owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Could you imagine going to Heinz Field with Art Rooney? You'd be treated like a king. Just because he's standing next to you, you would have everyone smiling and shaking your hand. You'd be waited on with any needs you had, whether you wanted a Primanti sandwich or a Pepsi. They would get it for you. Why? Because you had Art Rooney with you. Anything you want, you would have the best seat in the stadium, best view. Anything that you asked would be yours. Why? Because you have Art Rooney with you. And when we have the presence of God, when we are welcoming the presence of God in our lives, just as the angel said to Gideon, that the Lord is with you. When he made that statement, the Lord is with you, that means that God's authority and his power was with Gideon. And when God's authority and power is with us, when God's authority and power is with Gideon, he can't fail. He can't fail. Although the circumstances seem so overwhelming, he couldn't fail. Because the Lord was with him. The Lord was right there, walking through the situations with him. We see that this situation with Gideon is, he's in the wine press. Gideon asks some questions. After the angel says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior," Gideon asks these questions of the angel. Okay? Understandable questions. And Gideon said in verse 13, "But sir, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." We've asked, these are questions that all of us have asked. God, if you're really with me, then why is this happening to me? If you're really with me, then why did you allow this to happen? And God has never, if you read through all these questions in Judges 6 and 7 that Gideon asked, God never answered the questions the way Gideon hoped. God didn't give an explanation of, well, this is what I'm thinking, this is what we're going to do, this is the plan. God just continued to remind him, but I'm with you. And when we're walking through difficulties, when life seems so overwhelming, and we ask God, why me? Why? Why has this happened? Rarely does God answer that question the way we hope. Rarely does God give you this detailed explanation of, this is why I did this, because I wanted your approval. And I know God does that for me. He asks for my approval and things. But I'm kidding. Just joking, he doesn't. But God doesn't he answered that question, why? He oftentimes answers it with, but I'm with you. We don't know why bad things happen to good people. We don't know why difficult circumstances still take place in the life of a Christian or of a person that's following Christ. We don't know those answers necessarily. But we know that God is with us. And when God is with us, there's nothing that we can't face. Because we have the power, the authority of God with us. And in verse 15, Gideon goes on, he asks another question. He said, "But Lord, how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. How can I do this? And how can we go on?" And the Lord responds once again with, "But I am with you. I'm with you." And in verse 12, he says, "I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together." Now, if you fast forward a little bit in this story, Gideon starts off with 40,000 soldiers, which is a pretty good-sized army, still too small to really be able to make any kind of an impact against the Midianites. Scripture says in these verses that the Midianites were so numerous that even their camels were more numerous than the sands of the seashore. It's how many soldiers they had camped out here near Israel. And Gideon finally says, "Okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to lead these people to conquer the Midianites." And he rallies a big army, 40,000 people. And God whittles that down to 10,000. And Gideon's thinking, all right, 10,000, this is going to be difficult, but we can do this. And God said, you still have too many. And Gideon ends up with 300 men. Many of you may know this story. 300 men. That's a really small number of men. But the case was that God was with him. That it wasn't about what Gideon could do. It was what Gideon could do with God's help. The power of God. And this principle that as we welcome the presence of God into our lives, we get to experience God's presence. As we welcome God's presence, we get to experience God's power. And maybe you're facing a difficult situation in your life. Maybe you're facing, as I mentioned, a difficulty in your job, your career, raising your family, the stress of that. Maybe it's a relationship or physical issue. And God is wanting you to know, as you welcome His presence into our life, His power will be at work in your situation. No matter how overwhelming, no matter how difficult it might be, God wants to work in your situation, in your overwhelming circumstances. And the Lord is always with us, but there are times we're not aware of the presence of God. We allow things to distract us. We allow things to cloud our view of God. And throughout this, Gideon tried to stay focused. He asked questions, but God was continually reminding him that He was with us, that He was with him. And I don't know where you're at in your situation. Maybe you're at the end of your rope. You're ready to just give up. You're ready to be done. Throw in the towel. And I believe that God had you here this morning for a reason. That's not an accident. You came to Calvary this morning. Maybe you don't normally come to church here. Or maybe you come every week. It's not an accident that you're here this morning. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And He wants you to know, through the struggle, through the difficulty, that He is with you. His promise to us in these times, in these seasons of life, is that He is with us. That we don't walk through it alone. That we don't have to just to put it on our back and muscle it through. But that God is with us. That we are walking in the power of God. And this week, as you face difficulties, as you face overwhelming circumstances, can I encourage you to do this one thing? To welcome the presence of God into your situation, into your life. To allow God to invade your life. To remind yourself that the Lord is with you. Because the Lord is with you, you're mighty. Because as we welcome God's presence, we experience God's power in our lives. Maybe that's taking a moment at the beginning of the day and just spending some time in prayer. Saying, God, I want to welcome your presence into my life today. Maybe it's taking time on your lunch break before you go to bed. But allowing the presence of God to be welcomed into your life. Not just on Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning it can become very easy to welcome the presence of God. Because everyone here is worshiping and we have the songs and the worship team leading us. But it's almost more important, really, that the presence of God is in your life, not Sunday morning, but Monday morning, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday. Because then we get to see the power of God at work in our situation, in our life. And I want to challenge you this week. Take time each day to welcome the presence of God into your life and see what God could do. Your situations might be overwhelming, and I don't want to discount that. I probably have no idea the pain, the difficulty that some of you may face. But I know that God knows. And God is there to give you strength. Gideon was experiencing some difficult circumstances. And you understand that the circumstances Gideon was facing weren't his fault necessarily. They were because of his nation had disobeyed God. If you follow those chapters, Gideon was obedient. He did what God asked of him. The difficulties he was facing weren't his fault. Sometimes we face those circumstances that aren't because of anything we've done, anything that we've done wrong. But in the midst of it, God is still saying, I'm here. You might not deserve this, but I'm here. I'm with you. And as we understand this idea together as a church, that God could use us, God could do something through us, we get to see the power of God at work. As I mentioned, Gideon had 300 men, and they were getting ready to invade this camp of the Midianites. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of soldiers. All they had was a torch, a trumpet, in a jar. That was it. To conquer thousands of soldiers, trained soldiers. Their odds were against them for sure. But because God was with them, in their impossible situation, because God was with them, they were victorious. They experienced victory that only God's power could bring. And this week I was looking through some research and discovered that there are just over 44,000 people that live in Irwin and North Huntington. I don't know if you know that. 44,000. That's a lot of people living here. And I was thinking, God, how could we as a church possibly reach 44,000 people? How? That just blows my mind. Do we even have the resources, the people, the opportunity to reach 44,000 people? How could we do that? And that thought just was so overwhelming. But then God reminded me of this message. But I'm with you. And if I'm with you, you can accomplish anything. There's nothing too difficult. No matter how impossible, no matter how difficult it might be. And God can use us in a similar way that God used Gideon, both personally and corporately. That God could, as we welcome the presence of God into our lives, into our church, that God could transform our community. God could transform our lives. See, Gideon, with just 300 men, transformed the entire outlook of their nation. Their nation was living in fear. They were afraid to plant any crops. They were afraid to even thresh wheat. That's why Gideon was in a wine press, hiding. They were living in fear. And because of these 300 men, the entire outlook of their nation was forever changed. And I believe, and I know, that because of this church, because of Calvary Assembly is here, and those that are here and part of this church, that the entire outlook of this community is going to be changed. Because as we do what Gideon did, as we do what God asks of us, as we welcome the presence of God into our lives, as we welcome the presence of God into our church, we get to see the power of God at work. We get to see the power of God at work in our workplace. We get to see the power of God at work in our church. We get to see God do the miraculous, the supernatural. Not just in some prayer service, but in our lunchroom, in our office, in our schools. When we're welcoming the presence of God into our lives, and we understand this idea that God is with us. God has not forsaken us. God has not ignored us. God is not looking down on us. He is with us, walking through the struggles of life. And then when He is with us, we walk in the authority and the power of an almighty God. That no matter what we face, no matter how big it might seem, no matter how overwhelming it might seem, God is greater. That's the God that we serve. We don't need Christians who whimper in fear, who walk worried that something's going to attack them or something's going to happen. Because we don't serve a God that's a teddy bear. This isn't our God. Our God isn't a teddy bear. We serve an almighty, powerful God. And if we really believe what we read, if we really believe what we hear on Sunday morning, if we really believe what we profess, we need to live it. Amen. Every day. Because if we're going to accomplish the impossible, reach a community for Christ, do what seems mind-blowing. How could we possibly do this? How could anyone possibly do this? It starts with us. It started with Gideon, but it starts with you and with me. Are we welcoming the presence of God into our lives? We want to see the result of the power of God at work. We need to start with welcoming the presence of God. And it starts with that. The worship team can come this morning. We want to welcome the presence of God into our lives, into our situations. And this morning, I as I was praying this week and preparing, I believe that we want to see the power of God at work even this morning. And maybe you came into this place and you have a really difficult situation. Maybe it's something in your body that you need healing for. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's something in your family. We're going to sing one last worship song here this morning. But as the worship team's going to be playing, I want to ask you if everyone could stand. And if you're here and you need prayer, you need the power of God to work in your situation, in your life, in your body. We believe this church, Calvary, is not a church that believes that our God is dead, but He is alive. And He is working. And He is able to heal and transform our lives. And if you're here this morning and you need prayer as the worship team begins to play, I want to ask you just to come forward. And we're just going to pray for you briefly. We're not going to take long. But just pray for God's healing power to work in your life. For God's healing power to work in your situation. It might be your physical body. It might be your emotions. It might be something in your family or relationship. But I believe that God can do something miraculous this morning. So worship team plays, feel free to come forward. We're going to pray for you today.
And I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender all. I am is yours. awesome God he reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Like it's just time to surrender and put the enemy behind us and let God do what he wants to do in our lives. Let's put up our hands and say, God, this morning I'm yours. There's nothing going to stand in my way of following you, following hard after your ways.
And I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned. In awe of the one who gave it all, and I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. I am is yours, and I'll stand with arms high. One who gave it all, and I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrender all I am is yours, and I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one.
Couldn't hold you down. our voice in victory. Gonna make your praises loud.
The enemy's been defeated, and death couldn't hold you down. Gonna lift our voice in victory. Gonna make your praises loud.
Finish up today. Let's sing Awesome God. I want that to be embedded in your heart, so when you're sitting at lunch, I want the people at the table next to you hear you singing and humming that song. Because there is no greater God. There is no other God. Amen?
Our God is an awesome God. He
situations, and thank you for staying with us a little longer this morning. And I believe that we don't do this every week. We're not, you know, doing this every week, but that the power of God can be at work in our lives, in our situations, that no matter how difficult things get, that God is still right there with us, walking through life with us. So before we go, can we just close in prayer and pray that the presence of God will go with you, not just today, but tomorrow and throughout this week at work. God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the opportunity to welcome your presence and your power into our situations. And God, I pray that you will just begin to work, Lord, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Lord, that even in impossible circumstances, Lord, even in the most difficult of situations, Lord, that your power will be at work as we welcome your presence into our lives. Lord, have your way, I pray, in this church and each of our lives. And God, just go with us. Let us go with your power, your authority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.